never rests.
What is up, everybody? It is the Georgia Show. I am Jake Rose, Rusty Mansell. We're from Dogs HQ, and we were with you last night, right after Georgia defeated Kentucky 13-12. That score has not changed as of today. Went back and rewatched the game. We're going to discuss that, discuss the good. We're going to discuss the bad, kind of what Georgia's thinking going into this bye week, and we're going to check up on some recruiting. And get Rusty's take on some stuff going on right now in recruiting. But Rusty, what have you done to get another look at this game to see kind of what extra information you can grab?
I'm watching it actually. I'm actually tweeting it out to let people know we're live. I'm not being rude on my phone tonight. I just made that. I'm actually watching it behind it again right now. That would be the third time I've watched different parts of the game. And you know, I think Jake, we'll get into it, man. One thing I do want to mention before we get going is you got to shout out a couple guys, man. And looking, you know, you guys had snap counts in those times, those things. Let me give a shout out to Christian Miller, 58 freaking snaps, man, in a defensive line in an SEC football game. Nas Stackhouse, 52 snaps last night, and Ty Ingram Dawkins, 62 snaps. I mean, that's insane, Jake. For those big guys to do that and what they did, that is fantastic. They need help. They're going to get help. Those guys, they're going to get some much anticipated, really good help for Alabama game in 2 weeks. But you got to start by those three down linemen that played a ton of snaps. You know, Gabe Harris came in at 18, I think. Joseph Jonah Ajanye was 15 snaps. Jamal Jarrett had 4 or 5. So, those guys really buckled it down, especially when Kentucky crossed the about 40 last night every time. Didn't give up a touchdown, but we're talking about a lot of things. But, man, for you got to start. You start talking about big guys in this defense playing 50, 60 snaps a game. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. That's a lot of strain, man. They talk about that all the time. You know, I've heard Kirby mention that so many times when talking about D-linemen. I never forget. The way he explained it one time was he was like, hey, listen, I got a cornerback out there ready to go play 65, 70 snaps and run all over the football field. Yeah, safeties. Mm-hmm. He mentioned cornerback.
Both of those guys played 78, both corners.
Yeah.
Every play, 78.
Yeah, and he talked about how I think he was mentioning Tyson Campbell when he says this. He goes, why can't I expect a defensive lineman to strain his gut and kind of do the same thing? And I mean, it's a different type of, you know, they're down there in a big wrestling match and they're 300 pounds. I get that. But, you know, obviously, you know, I don't think he's wanting those guys playing 70, 80 snaps a game. But you ask Ty Ingram Dawkins to go what you asked Ty Ingram Dawkins to do. Now, that's another aspect in and of itself. And you know, I could go on for this for days. But Ty Ingram Dawkins is doing what he's doing right now, and he's making some mistakes too. Now he lost some contain on a couple run plays, and had a run kind of slip inside of him that I saw as well. I missed a couple tackles too, but 5 tackles for a loss and a sack in 2 games while playing inside the guard, inside the tackle, inside the tight end. You know, like playing all up and down the line of scrimmage. I mean, I think that's. They're getting a Herculean effort out of those guys. And those guys are probably gaining a lot of confidence. They're probably proving a lot of stuff to themselves in the process. And you know, between that and all the reps Ja Jarrett and Jordan Thomas are getting to get ready to play, you know, Georgia's building itself to a pretty good situation on the D-line.
Yeah, I like what I saw last night. And, you know, a couple of things. This won't get too technical, get too nerdy with this thing. But you start talking about run fits, you know what I mean? That's something you're going to have to work on. You know, Chad Samuels, you take on a counter, you take on a block. That's what his specialty is. He will set the edge. And when you set the edge as a defensive end, outside linebacker, and you stone a guard, somebody's got to be there to run fit. A couple of times they weren't there last night. So some things they'll work on. But, you know, again, those guys playing a lot of snaps last night and you know, you look for some positives there, and those guys played their ass off, man. That's a lot of snaps for big boys to hang in there and to do what they did last night.
Tell you what, a surefire sign. Somebody pointed this out on the dog walk. Our awesome message board had a lot of discussion about it today. Somebody pointed out the kind of a telltale sign that Kirby Smart's football team was not playing its game, and not just the offense, but the defense too. The defense held them out of the end zone and played a phenomenal game. Okay, like I defense firmly outplayed the offense. Defense had some struggles because the defense didn't tackle, and you don't see Georgia struggle to tackle very often. Like you're going to see a missed tackles, but in terms of like over and over and over again and not getting corrected, it was kind of weird, Rusty. You know, I went back and I looked at that game. And actually, let's save that. I want to save that for when we get to another segment here in just a little bit. Well, let's rewatch the Georgia. Good. Give me some good. You mentioned the D lineman, but give me another one. What's something else good you feel like you could probably take from that game?
I think offensively, everything is there's a lot of stuff is correctable. I mean, there's blocking. There's, I think blocking on the perimeter was an issue last night. That's something that I guarantee you. You know, I guarantee you that is going to be a point of emphasis the next 2 weeks. They're not going to sit around and go, hey, you got to block better. They're going to be in some blocking drills on the perimeter. I can just tell you that. I'm not calling anybody out, but, you know, under Todd Monken, under Mike Bobo, you're going to block in perimeter, or you're not going to play. And that guys do it in the NFL. They show that all the time. And I just watched a game with Debo Samuel, and he made a block on a screen play that scored, that got San Francisco a touchdown. So, you know, you're going to block, and it didn't happen last night, and it caused a lot of kind of some small yardage chunk plays or some small yardage total plays. But, you know, Carson Beck, did he have his best game? He did not. And a couple of times Carson Beck bailed. I don't know why he bailed. A couple of times he wasn't anticipating throws like he normally does. All of that stuff. Is fixable. I mean, and number one, you've seen him do that. Last night, he was a little bit, you know, I know there were some protection breakdowns. You know, Frazier comes in the game, and Frazier goes the wrong way from what I can see, and he gave up a sack because of the twist stunt. And 71 picked up a guy, and Frazier didn't pick him up.
It wasn't a sack. It actually ended up being a big gain. Carson Beck got drilled.
He took a shot. Yeah. And that is you don't even like, you off the field. Like Dale McGee, you know, used to everybody be like, we got to play this guy. Well, you don't play until you can pass pro. And that's the one thing too with that's just a young thing for running back to learn. You got to pass pro and you get in. That's something he'll fix. All of that is fixable. So when you go back and kind of look at things, you know, I knew it would be that way when we really got to look at it. You know, we had quick reaction last night. We watched the game just like everybody else did, and we had an instant reaction. But, you know, it's not a panic situation. I mean, this team, you know, has put up tons of points. It was just one of those nights where things did not work well offensively. They did when they had to. Now, I will say this, credit Georgia, especially offensively. Where'd they go? Four drives. Second half, three scores, and then they had one that basically tried to run the clock out on that fourth one to end the game. So those last three or four drives were really important for Georgia to get first downs, to get points, and they did what they had to do there. So I'll be interested to see. I really think there's some pieces to the puzzle at Georgia that has not played yet, and I think you're going to see some pieces of the puzzle as we move forward now. Just including guys. I'm not saying somebody's going straight to the bench, but I think there's some guys at Georgia that may not be technically ready, but it's time to go. You got to take some athletes and just let those guys be athletes and make some plays. So we'll see where it goes in the next 2 weeks. But I think you can go back and look, Jake, just for a second. Everything very correctable. And from far as I know, Georgia started today. They had meetings today. They had treatment on the guys. We'll have our notes on Dogs HQ on injuries probably tomorrow, kind of where we are after they go in and see guys today. So not as good. You come up here to 13-12, just for whatever reason, I don't have the answer, Jake. You don't have the answer. For whatever reason, the last three road trips to Kentucky, Georgia has not been good offensively at all. And they were 3-0 though. That's the most important thing. They're 3-0. Any Georgia fan will tell you, Jake, you were in that era, how many times that teams in the 90s and early 2000s scored 30 points, 35 points, and lost, you know. And so you look at the things with Georgia now, and they find a way to win last night, 13-12. Was it pretty? Hell no, it wasn't. But it was a big win on SEC on the road. And now you go back, look at that tape, you start correcting things.
So that goes, man. And listen, to the fan out there who says this was different, I kind of agree with you. It did feel a little different. Like, you look back at that Missouri game a few years ago, Georgia gained like 400 yards. Mm-hmm. And you look, and they turned it over twice. You look at the Auburn game last year, and Georgia turned it over twice. Georgia got itself in some bigger holes in that game too, by the way. They were down by 10 points, I think, in both of those. Then they were down by two scores against Missouri at one point too. But Georgia still, man, when I look back at that game, again, going back to your correctable thing, there were so many shoot yourself in the foot moments. Running into a stack box at one point with Branson Robinson. You know, I remember that run got criticized heavily. Going to have it on X's and O's tomorrow, Rusty, whenever I put it out, and we'll probably talk about it on Dogs HQ Plus. Carson Beck is standing there, and he's got the option of pulling that and throwing it to the flat where he had a 2-on-2. Instead, he ran it into a 6-on-7. And that was the extra man muddied that run up, and Georgia didn't have a chance. So there's so much correctable stuff about that game. I want to kind of go back to two points. First of all, I'll say this wasn't a good, the offensive line in the run game was a little better than I thought. I thought that there were some times where they didn't get all five together, but you saw, like, play side, they would surge and they would blow. They were blowing Kentucky off the ball, but an outside backer from the backside or a nickel coming on a blitz would kind of get them. I thought Kentucky did a really good job of coming up and bringing a lot of guys up close to the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
And then they would, and the funny thing is, Russ, they'd do that, and then Georgia, then they would bail out. They'd bail out and they'd play 7 or 8 men in coverage. And then where the offensive line, I feel like, truly let Carson Beck down was they were affecting him with 3 or 4. They weren't necessarily getting free shots on him or hitting him every play, but they were getting into his lap a little bit. And it seemed like Beck was, you know, when you talk about the bailing, it was almost like he was trying to get to a point where he could see the field clearly. And I've seen this happen with quarterbacks before, where they're playing like almost like they're playing against 13 dudes out there. It's just like they've got 5 rushing them and you know, 8 more in coverage. So it just seemed like kind of one of those nights for him. And listen, I'm not a big fan of the plan. I said it all along, and I say it again right now. Mike Bobo's paid to put up points. And, you know, my thing is, it isn't that, hey, Mike Bobo called a great game yesterday in Georgia. No, it's his job. But I also know that these things happen. It's happened the last 2 times Georgia's been to Kentucky, and last 3 times Georgia's been to Kentucky, Mike Bobo has been the offense coordinator for one of those.
Yeah.
You know, you see it on Saturdays, you see it on Sundays. The best of the best get shut down sometimes.
It's a big boy league now. These guys get paid millions of dollars. I think that the one thing too, Jake, that you being a former coach, even at the high school level, and going through film study and going through game plans, you get a couple of sample sizes, you know what's not working. Like, you take that package and go, okay, we're done with that package. Here's what we're implementing. Here's what we're going to put in for this week. Here's what we like. Okay, Carson, what do you like? All that stuff, it's always a work in progress. And that's why you see teams, you know, if you're really a good team, that's why you see teams get better. You know what I mean? You see the sample size. And just because this is the second year with Mike Bobo and Carson Beck, it's a lot of different pieces of the puzzle. You know what I mean? You lost Brock Bowers. You lost Marcus Roseme Jack Saint. You lost Ladd McConkey. You know, you lost NFL guys right there. Okay, so you're trying to replace those guys and trying to figure out what you got, who's working, doing this. So there's a lot to it, pieces of the puzzle. You got 3 good sample sizes now against 2 Power 4 teams, Clemson and Kentucky now. And you can bet, we talked about this last night, anybody that plays Georgia is going to take the game plan of what Kentucky did to them and see how they can use that as well. So Georgia's going to see a lot of that and how they're going to combat it, how they're going to do things. But, you know, it's a big boy world, man. You got to make those adjustments. I fully expect Georgia to do that. And one thing I'm confident in is this offensive line. You know, at times they didn't have their best night, but that is a very prideful group. with or without Tate Rallis, you lose an All-American. You lose a first-team All-American. You don't sugarcoat that. But Georgia's got some really talented freaking dudes, man. It's time for somebody else to step up. You got Michael Morris in there. You're starting to see Monroe Freeland in these games as well at the third tackle. He's rotating a lot. He's playing basically as much as everybody else. So, yeah. You know, we'll see how that goes. Playing both tackles. Yeah, playing both tackles, man. So.
Yeah, you know, want to get this take on roughing the passer penalty. I didn't like the penalty. I thought it was a bad penalty. But that actually ended up leading to Georgia getting a strip sack and getting the ball and getting a chance to tie the game at three. So it didn't really end up hurting them. You know, I thought penalties were a big issue for Georgia. But let's go one more good thing, Rusty, before we move to the bad. Everything that went down and as much as Carson Beck kind of struggled in that game and as much as the offense struggled in that game, you got second down I believe it's second and nine. And you're trying to 4-minute offense. I've seen Georgia so many times just run it, make them use them timeouts, and then make them drive the field. I think Kirby understood that if he did that and Kentucky was able to call those timeouts, it was going to probably end up being able to use the 2-minute timeout for a timeout of its own. And they were going to have the time to play fast and run, grind if they really wanted to do and do what they were comfortable doing. Phenomenal job, in my opinion, going to the air, showing some confidence in Carson Beck. And not only just going to the air, but pushing the ball downfield the way they did. You know, twice. They pushed it down the field once to Dominic Lovett and then, you know, came back there with a little flat route to Oscar Delp that he did fumble, but, you know, went forward on it. But I know somebody said on the board earlier today when I posted that, they said, hey, we threw it when they were expecting run. Good for us, you know, or something like that. I'm like, listen, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like, that's not a decision I've seen Kirby Smart make a lot. You know, I remember Jake Fromm against Florida on third down, throwing that deep out route to Eli Wolf for the first down, you know, kind of throwing the wind there. But it's just not something Georgia's done a ton, and it allowed him to get the ball down to 9 seconds there and run out that game clock. All right, listen, game clock, game time, gametime.co. We love these people. Okay. These guys are the best when it comes to last-minute ticket deals. Started in 2012, Game Time provides the premier marketplace for last-minute tickets to the most popular events in sports, music, and theater, and in more than 60 cities across the United States and Canada. They eliminated the need for printing, no more paper jams, no more bar basements. They've built a better way to access your live experiences right directly from your phone. Download the Game Time app, okay? Download that Game Time app. Use the code ON3, and you can get $20 off of your first order. Terms apply. I think you have to spend a certain amount to get that $20 off, but you can get $20 off of that first order at gametime.co. And Rusty, I do really want to take a look at this here and you know, just kind of show fans.
Is that Alabama game?
Yeah, that's the Alabama game right there. But right here, I mean, you see where all these tickets for, I think this right here may be the, like a student section or whatever, but you see those tickets, man. I think the lowest ticket, I'm having a hard time getting to the screen there to get it to zoom in. But ultimately, dude, I am telling you, that is a, that right there is that's a lot of tickets available right there, and they're high. 276 is the lowest ticket right now. And that's in 2 weeks, folks, 13 days in Tuscaloosa, Alabama at night. It's going to be a brawl. And, Rusty, I'll say this too. I think you agree with me on this. I very, very seriously doubt we're going to see that same Georgia football team show up in Tuscaloosa. I'm not one of these people that's like, hey, Kirby Smart's licking his chops. He's got something to teach on. He's happy about this. Kirby Smart would have much preferred his team go out and play really good football on Saturday. Okay? That's what he would have preferred his team do.
Oh, yeah. Ass whipping.
Yeah, but is he going to make the most of what just transpired? Absolutely. And he's good at it. He's good at that. He's good at making the most of playing poorly. Last year, Georgia went out and played that first SEC home SEC road game at Auburn, and they struggled. And they leaned on Brock Bowers and Carson Beck to bring them back and win that football game. What happened the next week? Carson Beck had his coming out party against Kentucky. Okay, yeah. So I'm not saying that's what's about to happen, but it might be what's about to happen.
This is one of those games that Kirby Smart's not going to have to talk. He's not going to have to rah-rah I mean, he's going to be in some, you know what, over that Kentucky tape. But he's not going to have to get, he's not going to have to look those guys in the eyes and say, we got to be ready to be ramped up. That's not going to be the case against Alabama. You know, even the Georgia fan base knows this is a team that has beaten you. They've beaten you multiple times. They beat you when it's mattered. They beat you when it counted. They beat you when you need to beat them as bad as you possibly can. Last year, SEC championship game, multiple SEC championship games. A tight game over there in 2020 that I still can't believe that Mac Jones completed that ball with Eric Stokes in coverage. Like, I've never seen a human being cover a DB that good and still get a touchdown on you in the back of the end zone. I actually talked to Stokes about that one day at a 7-on-7. He's like, man, I don't know what else I could have done. I mean, I was all over the guy, and the ball hit over his right shoulder in the back of the end zone. So, you know, Georgia beat him in the national championship game. So that was a huge win. But You look at this. You got to hit this team in the mouth, and you got to go beat this team. You've got to change that path of what has been going on in this series. I don't think Kirby Smart's going to have to. This is going to be one of those games, Jake, where Kirby Smart has to tell his guys, calm down in the morning. Calm down Saturday morning. This is a long day. This is going to be one of those days where, you know, you got to be right at 7:30. I've said it in a bunch of interviews, and it's fascinating to me, the sports nerd in me. It's fascinating to me when you have a boxer or two MMA guys that have to be ready, and they have to be peak ready to go at like 10 o'clock at night. Like, how in the hell do you train for that? I don't know. But these guys are going to have to be peaked and ready to go at, you know, around 8 p.m. in that game. And I don't think you're going to have to talk much. There's going to be a lot. I'm telling you, this is going to be. Don't buy into that. This is a bye week. It's not going to be a bye week in Athens. Those guys are going to be off Friday, Saturday. Those boys are going to be off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But there's not going to be, hey, let's rest up and look at. No, they're going to get freaking after it. You think about them winning the national championship, and I had two players tell me, and Jamari Sawyer. Maybe I shouldn't use his name, but I'll tell you right now. He said those are the hardest practices they've ever had ever after they lost to Alabama. And they had to go play Michigan, and they had to turn right back around and play Alabama in that game. He said, "That was the hardest week we've ever had. Like, there wasn't no rest. We freaking got after it. Physicality, and that I expect that over the next 2 weeks of practicing Athens, that they're going to get after each other."
Yeah, I was just, man, listen, I was going to talk about the bad, but I wanted to let you go there for a little bit because you were on it. You were on one just then. I mean, that's good stuff, man, and I totally agree. And I do want to say something to another thing to Georgia fans out there. I get where you're coming from. Like, I've gone back and watched that game closely twice.
Yeah.
I need y'all to feel bad for me. Okay. Like, I need y'all to have some sympathy for what my eyeballs went through. That sucked. Okay. That was bad, man. Rusty, it was a tough game to watch. It was boring. I was thinking back to the game, and I was sitting here, you know, I don't watch many games from home. I don't watch hardly any, never watch a Georgia game from home. And I'm waiting. I'm like, these commercials are on, and I'm like, man, let's just get a commercial over. We get this game over with. Let's just get this done because this sucks. This sucks to watch. So I get it, man. And listen, I'm not here to tell you, oh, this is the same as Georgia in 2022 and the same as Georgia in 2023. They're playing with their food. They're going to be up and ready to go. And this is not, you're not going to see this Georgia team again. But all I have to go on is kind of the way Georgia has handled these types of games and the way Georgia's been in the past and what Kirby Smart's built Georgia into. And I just think you're going to see a much better Georgia football team. I don't think Georgia coached well, played well, executed well. Brett Thorson punted it well.
Peyton Woodard.
And tried to get into a fight, by the way.
How about Brett Thorson was over there about to scrap it up? And I guarantee you, he was not. He would have thrown. He would have thrown hands. I guarantee you, Brett Thorson would have thrown hands.
Yeah. Somebody was going to have to dodge one right there. Somebody's going to. I mean, listen, my man's been out there punching with them kangaroos. He's ready to go.
That's right.
But Brett Thorson kicked it well. Peyton Woodring did his job. The coverage units played well. Special teams was okay. Didn't really make a big difference in the game. Listen, Georgia got lured or fell into or was arrogant enough to jump into Kentucky's pace of play in their ball game. And they lived to tell about it despite a ton of mistakes.
Did you hear one of the announcers last night saying that Mark Stoops basically said he said we need Georgia to be off a little bit and we need to have make a couple plays and stay in this thing. And that's what happened. You know what I mean? Georgia was off. A couple plays here and there. They kind of mucked it up, got slopped around in the mud there, and had a chance to win that game in the fourth quarter. That's all you could ask for Kentucky side. But listen, I'm not sitting here predicting Georgia to beat Alabama right now because we've got a lot going on the next 2 weeks. But I am very confident that Georgia is going to play a much different football game at Alabama and Tuscaloosa. I'm very confident in that. They're going to play a much cleaner, much more focused game. This is a grown man game, and Kirby Smart and those guys, 2 weeks off, Kirby Smart's been really good. He's been really good after a bye. So we'll see how things go.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I think out of Georgia's last 51 games dating back to the end of that 2020 season, I'm sorry. I want to say Georgia is 49-2. I may be counting that wrong, maybe, you know, kind of just throwing that together in my head. But listen, if you look back at those past 40, whatever wins they are, 45, 49, however many they are, there's a few of those in there that were ugly. There's a few of them in there. There are a lot of them in there that we're all, you know, we're all stumbling over each other over on the dog walk to try and point out who played the best. Okay. Yeah. That's kind of, you know, it's been more of that than it has any other thing. And listen, they played poorly. Nobody's trying to deny that, but based on what we've seen out of Georgia, that's the extent of it. They played poorly in a game, and it's going to be tough to, you know, it'll be tough to get them in that shape again.
We always talk about, or you see the word, the standard. Well, the standard at Georgia through Kirby Smart, through the team, is to win them all. The fan base, it damn sure is to win them all. And that's okay. That's what you strive for as a thing. The odds of them going undefeated again for regular season, what is that, maybe 3 years in a row, 4 years in a row? Slim to none. I mean, at some point, they're, you know, it almost happened last night. So, totally different world today. Playoffs, that time, that bracket, 12-team bracket, all this stuff there. You got to take this literally one game at a time. This is a huge game. This is a huge game for a lot of reasons. This will be Alabama's first SEC game without Nick Saban. It's going to be over there at night. You know, after what happened in the SEC championship game last year, I fully anticipate, and we got 2 weeks to get into this.
Game day is going to be there, and Nick Saban's going to be there.
Game day is going to be there, and Nick Saban's going to be there. I fully anticipate Georgia coming after Milroe. And they're going to have to tackle well because, you know, Brock Vandergrift, who's a pretty daggum good athlete, extended some plays on last night, but he's not Jalen Milroe. I mean, and not many are athletically. So there's a lot of game plan, a lot of stuff we're going to talk about. But as you kind of put Kentucky to bed today and tomorrow, as you transition into the week and you start focusing on here comes Alabama, I am fully confident that you're going to see Georgia play a much better game and give themselves a chance to go in there and win this game. I think you're going to see a much different focus from that team. And we'll see how it turns out. We've got a lot of breakdowns to do. I did predict Georgia to win this game. In my season predictions, I went back and looked. Our new Massey ratings for own three, I looked before we came on here. They've got it 28-27 Alabama. I picked it 28-24 Georgia. So we'll see where this thing goes over the next 2 weeks. But I don't think you're going to go over there and see Georgia lay an egg. I would be shocked if that happened. May not win, but they just go over there and lay an egg. I would be shocked that happened.
Yeah, me too. And I think we're looking for a bounce back game there. It's going to be a big stage, man. It's going to be a big stage. And for those, you know, and some want to talk about it, I think it's, you know, irrelevant right now. There's so much left to play out. But for those who want to, you know, kind of talk about Carson Beck's Heisman candidacy and things like that, boy, it's he goes and throws for 280 and three touchdowns against Alabama on the road, runs for a couple more first downs, and he's right back in the Heisman conversation. That's just all there is to it.
If I'm Carson Beck, no, not being selfish, I'm not worried at all about it. I'm not worried at all about Heisman. I'm worried about this tape and NFL teams. This is going to be the tape they want to see him. And if you got a chance to be number one, which is a $45 million reward if you go number one. Basically, this will be the first tape that an NFL scout's going to throw in. How did he play against that team? How did he play against Texas? So he's not, I mean, Carson Beck got an agent. I mean, he certainly understands what's going on. This is a freaking great opportunity for Carson Beck. Now, if he goes over and plays like you said, yeah, that will certainly put him back in some Heisman talk. But in the bigger picture, for me personally, as an individual, Carson Beck, he knows what's at stake. This is a big freaking tape for him against the team, because there's a lot on line for him, and that's what he came back for. He came back to win it all, and he came back to be number one in the draft. And certainly, I would imagine he would agree with that, and this is a big tape for him.
Yep, and just the funny thing I thought about today, what a different football team schematically and personnel-wise than what he faced less than a year ago. No Terry and Arnold, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Dallas Turner, Chris Brazell,
Caleb Downs.
Yeah.
Maybe Q Russo got hurt, which you hate to see those things. I don't know the status on him, but a little bit different back. I would say a little bit different back end. You know what I mean? They still got guys up front. A little bit different back end.
The two pass rushers that gave Georgia trouble in that game, Turner and Brazel, both of them got drafted. It just kind of occurred to me how, you know, he's going to be looking at the same uniform over there and, you know, just so many different bodies. I mean, they're still really good at linebacker. The Lawson kid is a really good player.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watched any of that Wisconsin game, but Jesus Christ, Wisconsin didn't have a prayer when it came to speed. Alabama was so much faster. Then that it really reminded me of that Georgia Wisconsin game back in 1997 when everybody was talking about Ron Dane this and Ron Dane that, and you could just see two teams playing at two completely different speeds on that football field.
That game kicked off at 11 a.m. and I'll be honest with you that I was in Ybor City probably till about 10 a.m. the next morning. That wasn't a great day for Rusty Mansell. He had an IV again. I had a Gatorade IV in my arm at 11 a.m. kickoff. So.
Woo.
But it was New Year's Eve. That was on the first.
Yeah.
That was New Year's Eve. And I caught like a 7 o'clock flight from Atlanta to Tampa. Biggest plane I've ever been on in my life. Have no idea why they had that big of a plane. Obviously, this is one of those that had like the five seats in the middle. I was like, what are we doing? And I was on there with a bunch of Georgia fans that were going down late. Man, I don't know that they had enough alcohol stocked on that plane, because that 45-minute hour flight, those Georgia fans got after they landed straight to Ybor City and big win there against Ron Dane in Wisconsin. Doug, I think Jim Donnan let them wear the black pants.
Did black pants, black white jerseys. Yeah.
Terrence Edwards, tell you this story if we ever get him on here. He was a recruit, and I was sitting beside him. I think Boss Bailey was still a recruit. Those guys were all in that class. They were all in that class. John Stinchcomb, they were all in that class. And all those guys were there.
That was an all-timer.
George Foster. Yeah, yeah. So I was sitting there with Terrence Edwards.
Tony Gilbert. I believe Chris Clemens was in that same class.
Dude, they had a great – go back and look at that 97 Georgia class, Jim Doc. That was the team – that class wound up winning the SEC championship in 2002. All those guys played in their fifth year.
Moussa Smith,
I remember sitting there with Terrence Edwards, and I was like, dude, are you not just going to go ahead and commit? Like, commit today. What are you doing? And he just started laughing. But I needed an IV that morning.
That's awesome. Give us a checkup on recruiting, Rusty, before we get out of here. What's kind of on tap? What do you expect from Georgia during the bye week? Is it still fall evaluation period? Is that what they still
call it? Yeah. So here's what you'll want to know. Here's where we'll have you covered. Friday, this staff will be out on the road, and they'll go see players and coaches, and they'll go into multiple schools. Like I did the Douglas Buford game Friday night, and Clemson was there because they were off. USC, Lincoln Riley, he was there. Doug Belk, the DB coach, was there. Auburn didn't have the best game on the table. Obviously, they had coaches there. Tennessee had staff there because they played Kent State last night, gives them time to travel. But that's their one hit for those two schools until after Thanksgiving. So Georgia will likely go see some commits. They'll likely go see a couple of major targets. Now, Trey Scott has already went to see Elijah Griffin. I would imagine somebody this week will go by and see Justice Terry if they don't go to his game this week. But you get one hit between September 1st and Thanksgiving, I believe. So one of those schools. So we'll have that covered. Might not be a ton of like daily recruiting updates, but what you want to see will be the report Friday on where the coaches are. That's usually kind of a telltale. Like, we had a nugget on the board Friday that Georgia went to see a committed elsewhere running back. And so that tells you, like, that wasn't really on my radar. But once we confirmed that, I was like, okay, yeah, there's still some communication there. So when you start looking at recruiting, that's where things will be this week, who they go to see on Friday night. And there'll be a lot of coaches out on the road at games on Friday night. Then they'll fly back in Friday night. They'll likely get Saturday off of their family, and they'll come right back in Sunday morning, and it's game week for Alabama.
Absolutely. And listen, some big fish left on Georgia's board. Dogs kind of in it with Alsmani Chroma. He's a guy that they're kind of maybe surging a little bit there with. You know, you got Elijah Griffin, you got Justice Terry. You got some defensive backs out there that Georgia's keeping an eye on. Rashawn Dinkins, love him. Big time player there. Still recruiting CJ Wiley, still recruiting other wideouts. I believe there's probably still a little communication there with Sam Turner. Georgia Tech commit. So Georgia's got a lot of irons in the fire here with a pretty full class. You know, they lost a commit here recently, but pretty full class. We're going to have that covered for you. Got Dogs HQ Plus coming later this week. Got Bark After Dark coming tomorrow. And going to have another Georgia show for you later on this week. We're not going to leave you hanging. We're going to get you back to you on Thursday. But for this one, that's all we got. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. And, man, y'all have a great week.